Welcome back to Sophie Green, the Novel Analysis Queen, the source to help you discover your next favorite read. On the previous episode, I analyzed as well as read a passage from the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Underground Railroad by Colson Whitehead. The novel takes place in the 19th century when African-American slavery was occurring in the United States. It is told in the third person and follows Cora, a young African-American slave who works on a cotton plantation. Cora, along with her friend Caesar, attempt to escape their lives of slavery through the Underground Railroad. However, they encounter many more trials and tribulations in their journey to freedom. At the point of my last episode, I had read half of the novel. This episode will consist of my final review and analysis of the novel after having read it in full. Overall, my thoughts on the novel from the previous episode ring true. I am in full agreement with Barack Obama when he said that this novel is terrific. It is a saddening but realistic depiction of American history. It gives the reader insight into the constant struggle African American slaves faced in the 19th century. This novel is not a story of escape and freedom. It is one which sheds light on the many prejudices African Americans have faced throughout history. The following passage is one which I find impactful and powerful. It demonstrates the inability for African-American slaves to ever truly reach freedom. Martin and Ethel answered their questions quickly as they showed the group around. It was just the two of them. Their daughter lived elsewhere. The Knight Rider searched the kitchen and parlor. The maid Fiona had a key, but no one else had access to the house. Up the stairs. They had been visited by no strangers, heard no strange noises, noted nothing out of the ordinary. They searched the two bedrooms. Nothing was missing. There was no cellar. Surely they knew by now that the park houses did not have cellars. Martin had been in the attic that very afternoon and noticed nothing amiss. "Do you mind if we go up?" The voice was gruff and low. Cora assigned it to the shorter Knight Rider, the one with the beard. Their footfalls were loud on the attic stairs. They navigated around the junk. One of them spoke, startling Cora. His head was inches below her. She kept her breath close. The men were sharks, moving their snouts beneath the ship, looking for the food that he sensed was close. Only thin planks separated hunter and prey. "We don't go up here that much since the raccoons made a nest," Martin said. "You can smell their mess," the other Knight Rider said. The regulators departed. Martin skipped his midnight round in the attic, scared that they were in the teeth of an elaborate trap. Cora, in her comfortable darkness, patted the sturdy wall. It had kept her safe. They had survived the chamber pot and the Knight Riders. Martin's final bad omen happened that morning. A mob strung up a husband and wife who hid two colored boys in their barn. Their daughter turned them in, jealous of the attention. Despite their youth, the colored boys joined the Grizzly Gallery on the Freedom Trail. One of Ethel's neighbors told her about it in the market, and Ethel fainted dead away, pitching into a row of preserves. Home searches were on the rise. "They've been so successful rounding up people that now they have to work hard to meet their quotas," Martin said. Cora offered that perhaps it was good the house had been searched. It would be some time before they returned. More time for the railroad to reach out, or for another opportunity to present itself. Martin always fidgeted when Cora raised the idea of initiative. He cradled one of his childhood toys in his hands, a wooden duck. He'd worried the pain away from it these last months. "Or it means the roads will be twice as hard to pass," he said. "The boys will be hungry for a souvenir." His face lit up. "Ravening. I think it means very hungry." Cora had been feeling poorly all day. She said goodnight and climbing into her nook. For all the close calls, she was in the same place she had been in for months, becalmed. Between departure and arrival, in transit like the passenger she'd been ever since she ran. Once the wind picked up, she would be moving again, but for now, there was only the blank and endless sea. What a world it is, Cora thought, that makes a living prison into your only haven. Was she out of bondage or in its web? How to describe the status of a runaway? Freedom was a thing that shifted as you looked at it, the way a forest is dense with trees up close, but from outside, from the empty meadow, you see its true limits. Being free had nothing to do with chains or how much space you had. On the plantation, she was not free, but she moved unrestricted on its acres, tasting the air and tracing the summer stars. The place was big in its smallness. Here, she was free of her master, but slunk around a warren so tiny she couldn't stand. In this passage, Cora, having escaped the plantation to live in the home of abolitionists, is hiding in an attic as people have come to search the house to see if any slaves are being kept within it. In the novel, these people are known as Night Riders. One of the most impactful parts of this passage is when Cora speaks of how she was not free on the plantation, as she was enslaved, but she was able to roam freely through the land, whereas in comparison, in the home, she was free from, as she says, her master, but confined to the attic, and in no sense truly free. I found this part to be impactful, as it shows that Cora is constantly struggling to ever reach true freedom. When examining this passage through a historical lens, I noticed a connection between it and another historical event. Cora being locked in an attic, hiding from the Night Riders, is much like the situation of the Jewish pupil hiding from Nazis during the Holocaust. Although Cora had escaped from the plantation through the Underground Railroad, she was still entrapped and hiding within the attic, much like the Jewish people during the Holocaust, who hid within allies' homes to escape the Nazi soldiers. A metaphor used in this passage, which I found to be incredibly effective, is freedom was a thing that shifted as you looked at it. The way a forest is dense with trees up close, but from outside, from the empty meadow, you see its true limits. Cora says freedom is something which changes meaning when you view it from different perspectives. She then compares it to a forest, which when within it seems endlessly dense, but from the outside, you can see where the dense forest ends. This metaphor helped me to understand what she meant when she said freedom shifts as you look at it, as I can easily visualize her forest comparison. This passage showcases that even when African American slaves were free of their enslavers, they still were faced with many challenges. I believe this may be your next favorite read. I would strongly recommend this novel to all of my listeners, as it is thought-provoking and impactful. It accurately depicts a tragic historical event in American history, all while keeping the reader interested throughout the novel. I would, however, like to warn my listeners that the topic of the book is saddening and heavy. There are, however, some happier moments in the novel to keep the mood from being too somber throughout. I learned a lot of valuable information about American history through reading this novel, and I feel as if I understand what African American slaves endured better than I did prior to reading it. I believe many of you would thoroughly enjoy this novel, and you can buy it now at today's episode sponsor, Natalie's Novel Nook. I will see you on my next episode, where I will be reviewing a new novel. Until next time, thank you for listening to Sophie Green, the Novel Analysis Queen.